me about, tell the people this is a new thing. I was driving across the state of California, and this song came on, and I had never heard it before. It so got in my car with me because the Lord had just spoke to me about telling the people, God, what do I tell a people that's comfortable and it's convenient and it's we got our little thing going on? How do you transition a people into just tell them it's a new thing? When the song came on in my car, I got so overwhelmed and so moved that I pulled my car over and I called my wife. I said, have you ever heard this song? I sent her the link. You got to hear this. It's almost like God is really, really talking to us. So today, as we step into a new thing, I want to talk to you for just a moment about the lyrics that you just heard sung in that song, Burn the Ships. I'm not sure if you know where that idea has come from, but it actually is traced back to a Spanish expedition led by Commander Hernando Cortez back in 1519. So that's some 500 years ago, a little bit more than that. It was after an exhausting sea journey that Cortez and his 600 men with him landed on the shores of a hostile country. It was then that Cortez, knowing that his men were fearful of what lied ahead of them, being concerned that his men might go back to the ships, decided to motivate and inspire his soldiers to pursue and conquer this new land by ordering the ships to be burned so that his men would not have any other option but to fight. You see, Cortez knew that if the ships were in sight, available for a quick retreat, that they would become the easy choice for his men once they started dealing with the tough things of battle. So as the ships began to burn, the men knew that there was no turning back now. Cortez had destroyed their safety net, and by doing so, what happened is he ignited the team's motivation, because now they all had a reason to fight and succeed. And because of this, ultimately, they achieved their mission. Burn the ships. Actually, we see that idea a couple different places in Scripture. But one in particularly, we see its profound impact in the life of Elisha. And I feel like apostolically, once again, prophetically, I know those are big words, but all I'm saying is that this is more than just a sermonette. If you've been with us the last several weeks, months, it's been more than just sermons. It's been marching orders. If you haven't been here, I'd encourage you to go to YouTube, listen to those messages. I believe that they've been very specific in what God says. Now say this, teach this. This is the Sunday you'll do this. And every Sunday, even to now, especially for the last month that I've been preaching, everyone has been directed, say this now. Now say this, do this. And the Lord spoke to me concerning this very first Sunday in this new venue, that as we step into the new, I want you to talk about burning the ships. We see this truth in the life of Elisha. I'm going to read it here in 1 Kings chapter 19. This is where Elijah is at the end of his ministry, and God deals with him about anointing the next prophet. And we pick up the story here in verse 19. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. So he's in a field, he's plowing away and with 12 yoke of oxen. So just imagine, many of you don't have oxen anymore, so just imagine 12 John Deere's in your field. says, verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. So Elijah throws his mantle on him. He leaves the oxen and he runs after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Verse 21 says, so Elisha took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment. Hello there. To cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Now I want to read the text that's at the end of their story. He's been traveling with Elijah for approximately 6 years. And this is the end of Elijah's life, and we pick up the story. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I might do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit come upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taking from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if you don't cut and run, if you don't quit on me, if you don't get tired on me, if you don't hop to another church, find another pastor, find another leader. I'm tired of this one. Yeah, that's kind of what we do in America, right? Get tired of one, throw them away. Go find me a new one. Let me tell you something. It matters who you're connected to. Your blessing is connected to who you're connected to. You better be careful, cautious of who you connect to, because God uses your connections to bless you. Ooh, we're already off to a good start. Said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me, what does that mean? If you see eye to eye with me. In other words, if we're not in strife with each other, if we don't get offended with each other, if we don't fight with each other. Come on, if we'll stay in unity and harmony and fight together and believe together. Work out our differences together. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. And then it happened as they continued and talked that suddenly, somebody shout suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took that mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the God of Elijah? I believe that's what this world is crying out for. Where is the God of Elijah? We all say we serve God, but I think the world's crying out, where is that God of Randy Hand? Where is that God of put your name in there? The world is looking for the God of Elijah. What is the God of Elijah? Elijah is a man of miracles. Where is the God of miracles? Ooh, that's what this world's looking for. That's what this world needs. That's why we're here today. Because this world's looking for the God of miracles. And guess what? You showed up and you're a miracle. And I showed up and I'm a miracle. And we are a church of... And when he'd also struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. How many of you give me just a few minutes to break this down? If your chair gets hard, just kind of back and forth. We got a rocking church here. Yes, rocking church. I like this story because this story is all about God doing a new thing. It's a story about an ordinary man by the name of Elisha who's stepping into something new, something greater, something better that God had for him. I believe that's our story. As a church, as a community, as an individual, for your family, for your homes, I believe that everything that's going on in this church is symbolic of what's happening in your life, something new, something better. When we talk about new, we understand that the definition of that is better than before. We're stepping into something greater, something better. We're making no little plans here. And that's what's going on in the life of Elisha here. And it all began when God said to the prophet Elijah, don't get it mixed up, Elijah's the older statesman, prophet. He tells Elijah to go find Elisha and anoint him as a prophet. You see, Elijah is at the end of his life, and Elisha is at the beginning of God's calling on his life. And the Bible says that Elijah finds Elisha plowing in a field, and he throws his mantle over him. Now, a mantle throughout scriptures is a big, big deal. Because the mantle or the cloak or the coat that was covering him represents God's calling. It represents God's assignment. It represents God's authority. It represents God's power or God's empowerment upon a life. I believe with all my heart today in this moment, whether it be in the room or online, that mantles are coming upon people. I declare mantles, God's empowerment is coming upon his people. So Elijah throws the calling, he throws the empowerment for God over Elisha. Now, Elisha has no idea that this day is going to be the day that changes his life forever. Elisha has no idea that this day would interrupt and change the whole direction of his life. Hello, celebration. He thinks it's just another day. Let's get through this 2-hour service and head to lunch and wrap it up and grind it out all week long and do it again next week. He has no idea that this interruption is going to change the direction of his life. He thinks it's just another day. Got up early. He's working in the family farm. He's just an ordinary guy. He's not a preacher. He didn't go to Bible school. We have no record of his family. He's just the ordinary guy who's outside working in the field. He's a farmer. In fact, this is his parents' farm. It's quite successful. It's apparent because they've got a lot of oxen. You didn't have that many oxen unless you had a lot of land and was successful. So this is a large land. It's a successful farm. But it's his parents' farms, but it's also a farm that he will inherit one day. So we could conclude that his life is set. He's got his 401k, he's got his retirement, it's all good in the hood. His life is predictable, it's comfortable, his life has security, everything we all want, right? The American dream. But all of a sudden, there's a divine interruption. And Elijah passes by and throws something he's never felt in his life, the mantle, the God factor, the empowerment, the calling, the assignment. And Elisha is exposed to God's destiny for the very first time in his life. This mantle was God's opportunity. It was God's invitation for Elijah to step into something new, something greater, something better. This was God saying to Elisha, Elisha, I have more for you than just this average, ordinary life that you have kind of settled into. I mean, think about this. The life that Elisha's living here sounds a whole lot like our life. It's the same old routine day after day. He's stuck behind the plow. He's stuck behind the routine of life. In fact, I think they've got a picture, if they could put that up on the screens, just to kind of give you maybe an idea of his routine behind the oxen there. Just leave that up just for a moment, just to give you some imagery. He's stuck behind the routine of life. Think about this. His view never changes. All he sees every day is just the backside of those oxes. It's the same scenery, day after day. He's spending his life looking at the oxen's rear ends. His plow life has limited his ability to see anything beyond those oxen's rear ends. I think this just might be figuratively describing so many of our lives. Just the same old, routine and grind. Just living the average, ordinary, mundane, predictable, boring life. Just tolerating the life that has been handed to them. Because they have no dreams and no hopes of a better tomorrow. Here's the question I want to ask us today, and you can take that down now. Here's the question I want to ask us today again in this room online. What if the view behind your plow is blocking what God has for you? I'm talking about the plow or those plans that you have made for yourself. I'm talking about the plan or the plow that others have made for you. You see, Elisha's actually dealing with the plans his parents have made for him. The expectation that his family has for him. You're our legacy. You got to be a farmer. You got to work and push the plow because that's what we do in this household. What if your plow is keeping you from seeing what God really has created you to be? What if your plow is really your plans and not God's plans? What if your plow is really your family's plans and not God's plans? What if your plow or those circumstances or regrets or inabilities or excuses, what if those are the things that are keeping you from seeing what God has for you, and all you see is just the backside of your circumstances, your issues, your failures? I don't think most of us are in danger of ruining our lives as much as we are in danger of just wasting our lives. Could get a big amen in this big church this morning. Can I get a big amen? What if God has more for you? What if God has something greater and something better and something bigger? What if God has something new for you that'll fulfill your life and light you up and get you out of bed in the morning and get you excited again about life? What if God has more than just the backside of routine? Now, the new life, it's not always about something different. It's so important I say this. But perhaps it's living where you are with a greater purpose and passion. So it may not be about changing that job. It just may mean that you actually get excited about going to that job. I've just come to tell somebody in this building today, God's got more. God's got greater things. God's got better things. God's got new things. He's got more than just the backside of what you've been grinding out. I'm here to tell you, your life was created for a purpose. It's supposed to be on purpose. God's got a dream. God's got a plan. He's got a destiny. I declare there's greatness in this room today. God's got more for us. It's a church, and more for us as a people. Wow. Wow. So God is giving Elisha an invitation. Stay with me. We're not going to be long. I say that every week, but it keeps your attention. I believe what I have today is so from God. God is giving Elisha an invitation to a new life, a better life, a greater life. God is saying to Elisha, I don't want you to live your life stuck behind this plow. So what God does is he exposes him to the mantle, to the God opportunity, to the God destiny. I'm here to tell you, mantles are falling today. I believe people are encountering mantles today. I believe this church is encountering a mantle today. And the moment that Elisha was exposed to something greater and something more, the moment that he was exposed to the possibility of what God could do for him and through him, hear this, the plow life, the ordinary life, the safe life, the secure life, the predictable life was no longer a life that Elisha wanted. And if you ever get to mantle, I'm here to tell you, you'll never try to survive. You'll start to thrive with the purpose and the destiny of an almighty God. So this is what Elisha does. Once he encounters God's dream for his life. 1 Kings 19:21. So Elisha, he took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment. So what is Elisha doing here? He's saying goodbye to the plans and hello to the new thing. Elisha's saying there's nothing to go back to. Elisha's burns, he cooks the oxen and he burns the plow. He's saying, there's nothing, I've tasted something, I felt something, I experienced. Oh, that's my prayer for you today, is that you would come into a moment like this and that God would tag you and that you would know that you are created for more. He tasted something from God that he says, I won't need the plow anymore. Elisha is shutting the door on his exit strategy, on his backup plan. He's shutting the door on the safety net because this is what Elisha knows, that as long as his plow is waiting for him at home, he'd be tempted to go back. Some of you, that hard seat is tempting you right now. Elisha knew that when the going got tough, got to set up church, got to get here early, and this isn't fun. We didn't say it's fun. It's just our road. It's just our road to what God has for us. He knew that when the going got tough, if he didn't burn the plow, that when things got uncomfortable and things weren't convenient anymore and things weren't easy anymore, that it'd be really easy just to go back and say, forget this prophet stuff. I want my plow back. Now, this isn't just Elisha's issue. This isn't just the church's issue. This is your issue. Anytime and every time, God has something great for you. If you don't burn what's behind you, you'll be tempted to go back and live a mundane, ordinary life. But God is looking to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think. God's got an extraordinary life for you. Elisha knew that he had to go all in. Elisha knew that he had to fully surrender to a life of faith, trusting God for his future. You see, the plow is what's chaining you to the ordinary. The plow is what's chaining you to the average and the mundane, the predictable, the self-seeking, the convenient. So here's the question that we need to be asking ourselves in this moment that we're stepping into a new thing. What are those plows in our lives that's keeping us from the greater life that God has for us? Is it the convenient? Is it the comfortable? Is it the predictable? Is it those old relationships, old habits, old places, old traditions, old desires, old routines, old patterns, old dependencies, old thinking, resentment, bitterness? The list could go on and on and on. I've just come to tell somebody today, I've come to tell us as a church, you can't hang on to your plow and go after the new thing that God has for you. To fully live in the new life God has for you, you have to say goodbye to the old things. It's a picture of our church. Pastor, why would you do this after 30 years? Because it's a new thing. And I don't want to spend the next 30 years worshiping 30 years of history when God's got 30 years of destiny. God's got more. God's got greater. God's got better. He's got new things for his people, and we have just begun. Somebody ought to shout yes. There's more lives that have to be touched, and there's more lives that have to be impacted. We have not seen revival in our city, and God has chosen such a time as this to reach a people. It's a new thing. It's not easy. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. It's not something you really want to sign up for. But it's God. It's God. And I'm just here to tell somebody today, whether it be for us as a community of believers, we've got to burn the ships. We've got to burn the plows. Or if this be for you and your home and your family and your business, I'm here to tell you God's got something greater. He's got something better. And hanging on to the plow and the mundane and the comfortable and the retirement and the 401k, you're never going to do great things. You got to get out of the boat, and you got to trust, and you got to believe that God has something more for you. He's got a neighborhood for you to reach. He's got a family for you to raise. He's got sons and daughters you to inspire. He's got revival that he wants to see in our neighborhoods, in our homes. God's got more. God's got greater things. So what do we do when we get here at 6 o'clock in the morning and we're setting up kids' ministry? We just look at each other and say, the plows burn. The plows burn. What do we do when pastor's going a little long and the seat gets a little hard? The clouds burn. Got to stay connected. Got to stay hooked with what God is doing. It's a new thing. It's a pathway into a greater thing. And sometimes that pathway is a difficult thing, but if you ever see the end of a thing, oh, Jesus, if you ever see the end of a thing, you would give your life for it. And most of us, we dream and we see people that God had blessed and said, oh, if I could just have that. People say that about my marriage. Oh, if I could just have your marriage. I want to hit them. I want to slap them. Like, you don't just get a good marriage like this. You gotta work at a good marriage. It takes washing dishes and vacuuming. Come on. I don't want to do it. I just want a good marriage. And that's the problem with the American church. We don't want to do anything, but we want the blessing of an almighty God. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes it's inconvenient. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you gotta fight. But if you'll burn the ships and there's nothing to go back to, I'm here to tell you, you're getting ready to step in to the blessings of an almighty God. Somebody shout yes. Woo! Woo! Well, we're initiating this place today, huh? They never have a screaming preacher in here. I'm closing. I'm there, but it's all about the end of a thing. That's the reason why so many people never see it, is because they're not willing to go through the difficult to get to the end. But we all want the end of the thing, because the end of the thing for Elisha was a double portion. Double portion, double honor. He got the double from God. Did you know there's a promise of the double? There's a double blessing. Don't settle for the single when God has promised the double. You see it all through. I don't have time to teach it, but Elisha had no regrets about burning the plow because this decision that he made set him up for the double. The Bible's very clear that he received a double portion of God's power upon his life. After 6 years of the difficult, he goes to Gilgal, he goes to Bethel, he goes to Jericho. I mean, I could teach all of that. He's getting cut on, he's being rebuked, he's going through they're setting up church. It's tough. It's set up and tear down and this and that, and it's tough. But 6 years, and all of a sudden, that road that he was on led to a double blessing. The mantle that empowered Elijah to do great things now becomes Elisha's mantle, with double power, with double ability, with double reach. Now Elisha, who's just an ordinary farm boy, guess what he gets ready to do? He goes out and does twice the miracles of Elijah, because he's living in the double. He's changing one of the greatest prophets that ever lived outside of Elijah. Except he does twice. If Elisha doesn't say yes to the plan of God, Naaman doesn't get healed. Go through your Bible. Famines don't stop. Miracles don't happen. Dead people aren't raised back to life. If he chooses the plow, the community is not impacted. But when he said yes to the God dream, he received a double portion of the God power that changed his community. Even when he was dead, the Bible says his bones that rested in a grave, they put a dead man on his bones and caused that dead man to come back to life. That's the power of that's the power of the double. I'm here to tell you, if God's residue can hang out in a dead man's bones, then my preaching can hang out in 2x4s today, so that Monday comes and this school is impacted by the anointing. That our worship can hang out in the structure of these facilities. That when this generation comes on this property, they don't know what's touching them and what's hitting them and what's impacting them. Somebody shout yes. Okay, I'll stand to your feet. I'm done. I'm done. But you can't leave. You got to hear this. I can't believe I have a balcony full of people. That's really cool. Can I just, I don't have time. I wish I could preach a whole series on the double. I did that one time. But remember when we started this off several months ago? This is new. And in Isaiah 43, how God shows up to a people that are exiled, and he says, I'm doing a new thing. Forget your former things. We taught you that they were in captivity for 70 years there at Babylon, and God shows up. He hears the cries of the people, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make roads in the wilderness and streams in the desert. In other words, he says, I'm going to give you a path out of that captivity. See, the new thing is always about getting you out, but it's not just about getting you out. It's about getting you in. And what I got to declare over this house today and over this ministry today and over your life today and over your family today, the road is not just about getting you out. The road is about getting you in. And the in that God has for you is called the double. God has the double blessing for every person in this room, every person online. In fact, when God introduces, I'll make a road and rivers, a way to get out, God then on the end of their captivity, you know what God said to them? Once God got them out of the Babylon and got them back to rebuilding the temple, do you know what God said to them? Now that I've got you out, I'm going to get you in. And this is what God said to his people. Here's the promise. In Zechariah 9:12, this is the people that he said, I'm going to make a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Once he gets them out, he tells them what he's getting them into. He says, today I tell you that I'll return to you double blessings. I'll return to you double blessings. The road that was sometimes inconvenient, the road that was sometimes difficult, the road that was sometimes hard, the road that few travel is not just a road out of the mundane and a road out of the ordinary. It is a road into the double blessing of God Almighty. Notice the way this translation says it in the WYC. It says, I declare that I shall give thee double for all thy trouble. Somebody shout, it's double time. Now, he says that in Zechariah, but he also says it in Isaiah to the same people at the end of their calamity and exile. He says this because you got a double dose of trouble, Isaiah 61:7. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled. Your inheritance in the land will be doubled. Your inheritance in the land will be, I wonder what God's getting ready to do for us. And your joy will go on forever. I declare the struggle's over. The double has begun. You are a double portion inheritor of God's faithfulness. Double victory for you, double joy for you, double peace for you, double health for you, double finances, double ability, double miracles, double salvation for this church. Come on, we're getting in the double. So what's God saying to us? He's calling us out of the ordinary. God's saying, you were made for more. I have something new for you. I have something better for you. I have something greater. God is saying to you, he's saying to us as a community, individuals, will you burn the plow? Will you fully surrender? Will you trust me with your future? My prayer for us as a church, that God would give us the clarity. God would show us all those things that are keeping us from the life he has for us. This day is a day that I prophetically declare we burn the plow. We burn the plow. As a church of people, as a church, as people, as individuals, God is exposing us to mantles we've never experienced. Let me prophesy here. Mantles are coming. Mantles are coming. They weren't available until we took the road and burned the plow. God is exposing you. God's exposing me. He's exposing us to mantles and opportunities. Divine interruptions to a new thing that was not available until this moment. I declare there's something more for your home, for your family, for your marriage, for your business. There's something greater, there's something better, and I declare the mantles are coming. The mantles are coming. We're not a people looking for plows. We are a people looking for our God. Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of miracles? Oh, you didn't hear me. We're not looking for plows. We're looking for mantles. We're not looking for plows. We're looking for our God. This world's crying out. It's crying out. Where is the God of those churches? Why are we experiencing them? These neighborhoods are crying out. Would it be just like God to put you, all your bad self, in this neighborhood so that God could touch a people? They're crying out. The city's crying out. This valley's crying out. Where is the God of miracles? And you're the answer. You're the answer. We're the answer. Welcome to a brand new day. We're stepping in. Come on. Somebody shout, we're stepping in to a new day. Amen. Woo! Did you get it? Say this. Say, we're not looking for plows. We're looking for mantles. We're looking for our God. Where is the God of miracles? You know why we're here? I don't know if you know anything about this church, but let me make it loud and clear. We believe signs and wonders and miracles. We believe that dead shall be raised back to life. We believe that God opens blind eyes. He opens deaf ears. I'm here to tell you, he heals the tormented. Come on. He restores the marriages. He restores the families. Our God is a miracle working God. And I declare the mantles are falling upon God's people for such a time as this. God, we burn the plows today. The ordinary life, and we say yes to the extraordinary. Come on, lift your hands all over this place. Hallelujah. Andrew, can you do this? Help me. Father, let the mantles fall. May this be the day that changes every day. God, let mantles come upon homes and families and marriages. God, upon those children. God, as they go to school, let them carry mantles. God, as we go into the marketplace, may we carry the mantle. God, may this be the smallest that this ever be. May this be the smallest that it ever gets. Let the mantle of increasing and ever-increasing God come upon this place. Enlarge us, God. God, we declare revival in this city. Mantles are falling. Power is coming. Miracles are happening. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We say yes to it, Lord. We say yes to it, Lord. We're looking for it now. We burn the plows. We're looking for it now, Lord. We embrace the new thing. We say yes to the new thing. And Father, I pray that as we go forth and we pass by this community, that this community feels something, senses something, experiences something that they've never experienced before, just like Elisha in the field. Amen. Can we do that? Can we do that? Just real quick. Amen. The angels cried holy. Can we do that?
And the angels cried.
I just think we ought to just close out with some worship here.
All creation cried.
How many received this word today? Come on, I want to hear some. Come on, we're a rowdy church. We're a crazy church. We're a believing church. Come on. Come on, we're one of those kinds of churches that give God our praise and our worship, amen? Ain't no rock gonna worship our God for us. Come on. How many believe this has been a great start to a brand new... I'm thrilled that nobody's leaving. It was shorter than last week. I'll work on it next week, but I hope you're... I just feel like... I'm telling you, there's mantles. If you just knew what was going on in the spirit realm, sometimes we'd be so quick to flip the switch. And, well, I'm just going to get on with life, go to lunch. But don't miss this moment. This moment was a setup. What if something could touch you that could radically change you forever? That's how God works. Hear me. Hear me. My life has been changed in moments. I believe with all of my heart this is a prophetic moment in this room and online. Hear the man of God declare to you a new mantle is coming upon your home, your life, your family, your children. It's going to be different. It's going to be new. It's going to be greater. It's going to be better. Father, we seal that today. In the name of Jesus, just close your eyes. Andrew's going to help me close because I didn't know if I'd be able to. One more time, Tava, sing that. Let our praise go up in this place. Angels.
Holy forever.
It's what the angels are singing. It's what they're crying out.
And the angels cry.
Come on, this is what the people are singing.
Holy.
Come on, this is what we're crying out.
All creation cries. Holy, you are lifted high. Holy, holy forever. And the ages cry.
The life. And then he says, but and no one can come to the Father or connect to God except through me. Jesus was trying to let all of us know that our connection to God is not because of what we can do to obtain it, but in our faith in what Jesus did. And if you're in this place today and you just feel like, man, I feel far from God. I feel like God has just been some idea. I'm telling you that God is for you. God is real. God loves you. And I believe that God is already tugging on your heart. You're scratching your head thinking, what in the world did I step into? God wants to know you personally. And today I'm not asking you to put your trust in your good works, in your performance. Let you go home and try to have a good week, then come back next week and come to God. God says, no, I want you just the way that you are. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads right where you're at. This is why God sent Jesus, because he knew we could not do it. Jesus came to this earth. He lived a perfect life, but he didn't live a life just to enjoy it. He lived a life to ultimately be the sacrifice for you and I, because he knew you would have this moment. And when you would want to disqualify yourself, he would want to remind you that it's not about what you are doing. It's about what he did for you on that cross. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm not asking you to jump through hoops. I'm asking you to put your faith in what Jesus did for you. If you're in this room today and you want to surrender your life to God, you want to know God personally, not your spouse's version, not your parents' version. You want to know God personally. I want you to slip your hand in the air on the count of three if that is you. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand if that is you? We see those hands. We see those hands. We see those hands. We see those hands up there in the balcony. Church family, in support of those praying this prayer, and please know this is more than just repeating a prayer. We are declaring what we believe. And the Bible says that with your declaration, it initiates salvation. And so I'm going to ask us all in support of those making that decision today to repeat this after me. Say this, say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Today, I surrender all of my life to you. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. I thank you that my life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate with those that made that decision? Wow.
Thanks for listening. If this impacted you and you'd like to partner with us, go to celebrationchurch.cc/give to help us reach people with the message of Jesus.